Avery glowered at Chelan. Her green eyes shone with the same intensity as when they'd first met on the breezy balcony of Harvest's Parliament. But now Avery noticed something more. Every woman offered permission differently. At least, that had been Avery's experience. Some obvious, most so subtle Avery was sure he'd missed many more opportunities for intimacy than he'd enjoyed. But Jalan's signals, a deepened gaze, set shoulders, and pursed lower lip, were less articles of consent than a unified demand. Now or never. This time Avery didn't miss a beat. He paced forward as Jalan pushed off the controls to meet him. They came together and kissed as their arms fought past each other for purchase on bodies neither knew, but both were desperate to explore. But just as Avery was about to draw Jalan in tight, she shoved him away and leaned back against the freighter's controls. Avery felt his heart hammering in his chest. For an instant, he wondered if she changed her mind. Then Jalan reached for the pins that kept her hair coiled and shook it loose. She had already tossed the pins to the floor and leaned over to start on her boots before Avery realized he'd been left in the blocks of a race where winning meant finishing at the same time. He did his best to catch up. Avery tore off his duty cap and pulled his fatigue shirt over his head. He didn't bother with the buttons, and by the time his head popped free of his collar, Jalan was already on her second boot. Avery kneeled to unlace his own as she ran the zipper of her coveralls from neck to navel. He'd barely gotten both feet free before Jalan was stepping toward him, wearing nothing but a determined stare. She put her hands on Avery's shoulders and pushed him onto his back. Sitting astride his ankles, Jalan helped him with his pants. Then she crept upward, planted her hands on either side of Avery's head, and began to move. Avery was instantly entranced by the back-and-forth sway of her bosom. He cupped the weight of her in his hands and knew at once he'd made a tactical error. The heavy roundness of Jalan's skin started an ache that crept up his legs and settled in the small of his back. All she had to do was squeeze, and a moment later, he was spent. Jalan fell heavily onto Avery's chest. For some time they lay still, assessing the amalgam of their sweat. Slowly, Jalan brushed her fingers across Avery's collarbone, up his neck, and onto his lips. There she stopped to test the beginnings of a stout mustache.
"I've been meaning to take care of that," Avery said.
"Don't. I like it." Avery let his head relax into the rubberized flooring. He could feel the dull hum of the propulsion pods Shaw Fujikawa drive. It was idling now, coasting through the slipstream. Usually this would be the time Avery's mind veered into a familiar rut, the dread period of second-guessing that always followed a difficult mission. But now he found it impossible to focus on the past. The civil war that had sapped so much of humanity's spirit was irrelevant, replaced by an external threat of unimaginable proportion.
"But this?"
Jalan rubbed a fingertip against Avery's newly furrowed brow.
"Not as much."
"Oh, I will take care of that."
Avery rose at the waist and eased Jalan back onto her shoulders. He cradled her head in one hand and steadied her hips with another. Eyes locked, they began again. This time, Avery set the pace, buried his fingers deep in her unwashed hair. He let her neck slide freely against his palm, but he would not release her hips, and soon Jalan's face flushed and her eyes shut with a pained smile Avery would remember long after he had forgotten the worst of his failures. Their exertions had warmed the floor, and though they knew the heat wouldn't last, neither was eager to move. When they did eventually come apart and rolled onto their sides, Jalan slid back into the bend of Avery's waist. He grasped a blanket and cast it loosely over them. But the blanket was too short to cover their feet, and Jalan drew hers up to Avery's knees. Then they both stared out the cabin's thick windows. Blackness pressed in from all sides. But it was the faint streaks of warping starlight that focused Avery's gaze. There was hope there, and comfort. And while it was easy to feel a certain manly satisfaction as Jalan twitched in his arms, fighting off exhaustion, this soon gave way to something much more satisfying, a renewed sense of purpose. The UNSC didn't know it yet, but all its ships and soldiers were suddenly no better off than Harvest's militia had been, capable but untested, brave, but unaware. Humanity had no idea what it was about to face, and Avery knew it was doomed unless he and countless others rose quickly to the challenge. Jalon shivered. Avery nuzzled his chin behind her ear and exhaled warmly against her neck, in through his nose and out his mouth, until her shoulders stopped shaking.
"Don't let me sleep too long," she said softly.
"No, ma'am."
"Johnson, as long as this lasts?"
Jalon grabbed his hand and wrapped it tight across her chest.
"At ease."
In a few hours, Avery would rise and dress. In a few months, he would be back in action. But in the dark years of the war to come, he would often think of this moment, light a cigar, and smile. For now, Avery knew he had changed course, and at last felt proud to be the soldier so many would need him to be. We hope you've enjoyed Halo: Contact Harvest, a Macmillan Audio production from Tor Books. This program was produced by Laura Wilson and directed by Laura Wilson, Tim Franklin, and Scott Sherritt. Post-production by Tim Franklin. Text copyright 2007 by Microsoft Corporation. Production copyright 2007 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.